I'd like if you could turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 15. This morning I'd like to look at the parable of the prodigal son. I've asked God to give me the words to share this morning. I stand in the fear of God, recognizing my need for Him. And I covet your prayers as you think of us from time to time. It can be quite a test to our emotional journey as we look into the scriptures and confront the evil forces of Satan and try to dig into God's word and make it come alive. And I prayed that God would also open your hearts to receive the word of God this morning. And I think there's a few different aspects of importance as we think of a worship service like this. This morning I'd like to look, as I said, at the prodigal son, Luke chapter 15, and I'd like to read verses 11 through 31. Just very shortly here, I'd like to give you the goal of this message. I'd like to see the progression of choice. First of all, in this passage, we have the prodigal son, or this young man, making some very bad choices. And then we'll see later on how he came to the end of himself, and he started making good choices, and both of these choices had a progression to them. And this morning, as you think about this progression of choice, I want us to understand that selfishness will always lead down, and righteous choices will always lead up. And so if you can keep that in the focus of your mind. The other thing, as we consider this, I'm going to try to bring this into today's language and attitudes so that we can understand it from today's perspective. I apologize about that. But in the back of your mind, I would like for you to understand that this passage does have spiritual meaning. And we see here that the Father is really God of humanity. We also would like to notice that the younger son represents the publican and the sinner. And the elder son is seen as the Pharisee, or the self-righteous Pharisee. This morning I'd like to basically stay with the prodigal. Maybe sometime I'll look at this passage and look at the Father, heart of God from this passage, and maybe also the elder son we'll see as God leads. I'd like to begin reading Luke chapter 15 and verse 11. I'd like to read from 11 to 32. And he said, this is Jesus, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a famine, a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. And the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. And let us eat and be merry, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which has devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. I like to go through this passage here. There's just various phrases that I like to latch on and try to make practical this morning. And again, remember, right now we're looking at the fact that selfish choices lead down. And we see here that the younger son went to his father and he says, give me. And I like to look at that term a little bit. Give me. Give me. What a selfish entitlement. Give me. Falleth to me. You know, it's big trouble when I gets in the way, doesn't it? That big I there gets in the way. Well, his son was asking for his share of the inheritance. And I'd like to look how that could play out in different aspects. First, I'd like to consider demanding rights. Give me. Demanding rights. I want it. Demanding ownership. Or we could also think of the aspect, I deserve it. Give it to me. Some of this falls to me. It's mine. Selfishness to the core, isn't it? Demanding rights. Secondly, under give me, I see premature indulgence. I can't wait. I can't wait. Or we could say, I'm old enough. It's another concept we could consider. I'm old enough. He didn't wait on his father's timing. The older hadn't received his share yet. Premature indulgence. And we also see that his demanding, selfish attitude hurt others. We see that it was disrespect to his father, who should have at his own goodwill dispersed it at his desire when he was ready. It was unfair to his brother, who was waiting patiently and fulfilling his responsibility. He was supposed to get double portion. Do you know what? Not only did it hurt others, but it also is going to hurt himself. And selfish choices not only hurt others, but it hurts self. And this morning, as I thought of that, I wondered, what are some selfish entitlements we must guard against? And as we think of what this younger son did, I had to think of demanding from God. Demanding things from God. God, you need to give me this. God, I want that. I deserve it. Need to guard against those selfish entitlements. Or we could have anger at God. God, you didn't do it right. This is not in your time. This is not in your plan. I have a better way. Or simply not respecting God's laws that he set up. It's just another way. Selfish entitlement. This morning I would like to share that selfish entitlements, selfish attitudes will take us on a downward spiral. And we're going to see some of the product as we go on through this passage. Moving on, I'd like to consider in verse 13, he says, not many days after. And here we see that the son was ready to be off. It seems like a hasty progression, a hasty decision, and hasty decisions usually don't turn out well, do they? Especially not if it's in the root of selfishness. Consider the following suggestions why the prodigal son may have left in haste. I'd like to just think of a few of those things. Number one, premeditation. Not many days after, premeditation. I believe that this young man probably considered this choice for a while. And before he made his request known, he had made up his mind what he wanted to do. And when the time came, there wasn't a lot of time wasted. He followed through with his request. And here we see him possibly dwelling on his fantasies. And when he made the call, he didn't hang around long. Not many days after, premeditation will take you to a fast track, rooted in selfishness. Also, why did he leave not many days after? Why was he in such a hurry? Possibly another reason. Secondly, he was obsessed with his resources. We see here that the father handed him the inheritance. And money was his tool to pursue what he really wanted. Maybe he didn't even know what he really wanted for sure in life. I don't know. But his choices revolved around the inheritance or the desires of his life. And this morning, anything that we give priority to will eventually contaminate our decisions. Thirdly, not many days after, I would also like to consider, thirdly, the strained relationships we see here of his family. It seemed as though there would have been some feedback from his older brother. But we don't read anything about that until we came back. But underneath, his brother wasn't too happy about it. And I doubt, looking from an earthly perspective, the father would have been too sure about this or too happy about this situation or knowing how to relate to it. And so we see that these strained relationships could have put the pressure on to just get away. Or, relating to strained relationships, it could have been the fear of others or what others thought. You know, it would seem to me that an action like this would have raised some eyebrows or some questioning looks as his familiars passed his way. But these pressures are very difficult to live under. But whatever the reasons, we see that he continued to take a step down, and it says after he received this inheritance, not many days after, he left. And he gathered on. This morning I'd like to ask the question, what are some hasty things that can cause us, or what are some things that can cause us to make hasty decisions? And one of the things that we need to be aware of is going off of feelings instead of facts. And I believe this young man had a feeling, but he didn't look at the facts honestly. Also, another thing that may cause us to make hasty decision is a strong desire for the forbidden. You know what? He was obsessed, possibly with these new resources, when commentary used the word intoxicated, with his newfound resources. Strong desire for the forbidden. And those things have a way of coming out and helping us make our decision. And of course, we notice difficult relationships. Sometimes difficult relationships just want to make us run. Well, this morning we realize that that's not the answer. Well, let's move on. We see then in verse 13, not many days after, and we have the words gathered all. And this here connotation, I'd like to leave with the fact that the son is leaving nothing behind, or maybe an act of rebellion. Leaving it all. What would motivate him to gather everything? Well, there's three different things I'd like to consider. One is the spirit of independence. the spirit of independence. I don't need support from any of my association. Whether my friend or family, I can handle life on my own. I can spread my wings. I want to spread my wings. I want to land where I can create my own environment and make my own personality or keep my personality. Did you hear that spirit of independence coming through? But I want to say this morning that we find our identity in somewhere. And if our identity isn't found with the people of God, then our identity is going to be found with a club or a gang or an ISIS group or whatever you want to have. Any organization is going to be rooted in somewhere. We see here this spirit of independence. I want to do my thing. We also could take from this gathering awe, an act of rebellion, as secondly, a spirit of pleasure. Do you know the concept of float today is live well today, don't worry about tomorrow. Live well today, die tomorrow. I'm going to take everything with me. I got so much, I'll never run out. My resources are with me. I'm set to go. I don't want to leave anything behind that's going to hinder my life and finding satisfaction and fulfillment and happiness. I won't think about my past. I won't even consider my future. I'm just going to live it up today in the present. It seems like he didn't even stop to think, what if this doesn't work out? What if this spirit of pleasure takes me to a wrong place? This morning, the pleasures of sin reap harsh consequences, and it never looks as good as it is. Or it never is as good as it looks. I'm sorry about that. It never is as good as it looks. An act of rebellion, leaving nothing behind. Thirdly, the spirit of defiance. The spirit of defiance. I want to leave it all here. The teaching, the lifestyle, the confinement, or other. I'm tired of my lot as a life and as a younger brother. I want to let it go. I never could have it as good as him. He always got the better end of the deal. I'm going to show them that I can move up in life. I don't need to be forced in any kind of situation like this. Can you get the heart cry that I'm trying to present this morning, rooted in selfishness and the product that this brings? That's my goal this morning. The spirit of rebellion will drive people to act with strong reaction. This morning, there's various ways that can be taken out. It can be against God. It can be against civil authority. It can be against church authority. And it can be against parental authority. Spirit of defiance, the spirit of pleasure, the spirit of defiance. He gathered all together. He took it all. Moving on, we notice that he took his journey into a far country. What are the implications of that far country? What are the reasons for going to this far country? I'd like to consider a few, possibly the attitude of no restrictions. A far country. No responsibility. I want no physical responsibilities. I want to choose them. I don't want to be under my father. I don't want to have to do my father's errands this morning. I'm going to go into a far country. No spiritual obligations. I don't want to have to live under God. I want to do my thing. No responsibility. We also see no accountability. I don't want anybody watching me. I want to be away from critical eyes. No accountability. Nobody talking to me. I don't want the rebukes that are going to come my way for the life I've chosen. And I want to be away where I don't even see anyone else, because if I see someone, it might remind me of my sin. No responsibility, no accountability. And also, no consequences. When I make a choice, I expect others to accept my standard. And so we have this attitude of no restrictions. Not many days after, he gathered all and he took his journey into a far country. This morning I'd like to say that to disrespect To disregard all restrictions is impossible. Either we're governed by the laws of God or by the laws of Satan, and we'll see how restricted he will get because of his choices in life. Also, going into the far country, I'd just like to suggest he was in search for something better. Although he had all these new resources, maybe he was looking for more wealth. Riches begat riches, and those who possess them usually search for more. Maybe he wanted more freedom in following the desires of the flesh. I can't do anything around here. I need to spread my wings. Maybe he was looking for more fulfillment, borrowed into the attitude of, it's too boring around here. Something better. Something better. I like to suggest this morning, something better will never be found outside of God's plan. Moving on, we see that he took his journey into a far country and he wasted his substance. I like to consider wasted his substance. Why would this young man waste his substance? Few of the possibilities I thought of was a lack of self-control. This young man had never learned to say no. He had never learned to say no to his passions. He had never learned to self-denial as a way of life. And as opportunities came up, he used it to waste his resources, to waste his substance. Why should he waste his substance? Secondly, to appease his guilt. He may have been trying to cover up how terrible he felt. But you know what? That terrible feeling just doesn't go away when you try to satisfy it with the world. And every time he felt terrible, he needed to compensate. He needed to do something else to make him feel better. And so he wasted his substance, as we well see in this passage. Or thirdly, why did he waste his subject? Very closely related, the carnal man is never satisfied. Just one more time, then I'll be happy. One more time. You know what? It always takes one more time for the carnal man to receive happiness. And so one more time, he wasted his substance. And he continued to waste his substance. Well, as we think of this in a spiritual sense, how are we guilty of wasting our substance when we disregard God's spiritual and physical provisions? That's how we waste our subjects, our substance. God has given us so much, physically and spiritually, and yet we need to see value in what God has given to us. I'd like to move on. Verse 13, it uses the term riotous living. Again, I'd like to make some suggestions from this riotous living. We see poor stewardship. He didn't account for his money or plan for the future. The attitude, live life today, never worry about tomorrow. We talked about that a little bit earlier. Secondly, no morals. He spent his substance with harlots. We find that later on in the passage as his older brother throws a dart to try to protect himself and make himself look better and make his younger brother look bad. The attitude, the sky is the limit. Anything goes. No morals. Riotous living. Do what you want. Do what you please. Serve the flesh. Or thirdly, a lot of these are closely related, but thirdly is idolatry. And it's simply rooted that the pleasures and the luxuries and the comforts of life are mine to enjoy and indulge upon as I please. Selfishness of living. This morning, the greatest living is living for God, not in selfishness. But are you seeing that this attitude, this selfish conduct, this selfish perspective is leading him down? Verse 14, he says he spent all. Why did he spend all? First of all, I like to reckon with the fact that there's no convenient stopping place. When you start down the road of selfishness, it never seems right to stop. You just keep going. Secondly, spend all, his frame of mind was in disorder. The Bible says that the wages of sin is death, and sin messes people up. And I also believe that sin messes your mind up so that you don't think properly. He spent all. Thirdly, he still wasn't at the bottom. You know, hard times do not always bring people to the end of themselves. We're thankful many times when this happens, but you know what? People go long and hard. And at this point, his pride was hanging on. While his resources were dwindling, his pride was still hanging on. You would have thought he would have seen through this, that you know what? This is going the wrong way. I'll soon be where I don't want to be, but he didn't. This morning, I like to say that a person never ends where he chooses not to start. Moving on, in verse 14, we see there was a mighty famine. A mighty famine in the land, and here we have he was unprepared for the circumstances. Here was a sovereign act of God, roadblock, to bring him to his senses. He was wasting away inwardly, and now he was starting to waste away outwardly, or at least he was at the brink of it. This man had depended on external, but now this was even being taken away. And I'd like to suggest this morning that our resources are a gift from God meant for our good. And so anything that God brings into our life are for our benefit if we will only view them this way. And at this time, it seemed like this was the wrong thing. Here I am. Already, at a place in life where I don't want to be. And here comes another circumstance, but it was a sovereign act of God. And we see here, as we move on in verse 14, it says he began to be in want. Began to be in want. And here we have the situation. Let's consider some of the facts again. Number one, he had a lack of money. His inheritance money was now squandered by poor choices. What about a lack of food? Secondly, a lack of food. He used to be a son of an heir, but now he was very shortly going to be a pig feeder. Thirdly, we also see that very soon it's going to tell us that he was homeless. From a kind and caring family to an unknown stranger who would not even give him pig feed to eat. And I like to say this morning again that sin brings consequences. And so, to try to get himself out of a pinch and out of trouble, we see here that he joined himself to a citizen of that country. He gave himself to the lowest, as it were. And I like to consider this as reformation, an attempt to deal with his physical problems without resolving the spiritual issues. But it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Reformation, and many people try to reform without God, but it doesn't work. Secondly, dependence. Joined himself to a citizen of that country. Dependence, an attempt to receive help from the ungodly society rather than from the people of God. You know, all of a sudden, he's beginning to realize that he needs someone after all. I can't do this on my own. I can't make it. He reaches out to a place that really wasn't going to help meet his spiritual needs. And I like to say this morning that any attempt without repentance is bound to result in failure. Moving on, we see in verse 16, fain have filled his belly with the husks. This morning, this is the crowning point of the story. To show the desperation and the plight of this situation, his wealth had turned to poverty. His answers had turned to questions. His strength had turned to weakness. His independence turned to dependence. And his restricted lifestyle that he once thought was restricted, he now stands at the brink of more restrictions, to the point where he's no money, no food, and no home. This is, in essence, the selfish choice that led him down. Do you have that picture? Selfishness leads down. But we have a change in the story, and this morning, for the latter part, I'd like to look at an upward climb. The righteous choices lead up. And we see here in verse 17, it says that he came to himself. And this is an indication to me that this young man wasn't thinking properly. His evaluation was off, but now he was a place where he could begin to make an honest evaluation. And we see in this part of the story, honesty. He came to himself. And what did he say? How many hired servants of my father have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? And here we have the concept that he understood and began realizing how much his father had. My father has hired servants. He orchestrates it very well. He's got a good relationship. What all can you read in that? When someone has many hired servants, there's a good thing going. He has food enough. The very thing that he was struggling with now. And not only food enough, but he said he has extra. He said he has bread enough and to spare. Honesty. He came to himself. You know, really, the Father has the provisions. And here we see an admittance to his wrong thought process. What had seemed to be so repulsive now in the past looked so inviting to him. It looked very appealing. What had changed? His father's administration? No. Had nothing to do with the father's administration. Rather, it was a change in his perspective. Now, instead of viewing it as something he didn't want, he understood that his father had the provisions that he needed. Honesty. Secondly, we see under honesty, and he came to himself as the wretchedness of his current state. He recognized his current state. He says, I perish with hunger. I perish with hunger. The prodigal, who had once thought that he could handle life on his own, came to the realization that his problem was a problem that he couldn't fix. He couldn't fix it. His money, his independent spirit, his companions, the organization he joined was not able to meet the needs of his life. And so we see an upward climb here, finally being honest with who God is and who we are. Verse 18, moving on, he says, I will arise, I will go, and I will say, I have sinned. Do you notice the I word again? You know, just notice that, I guess he doesn't say I will, but he says will. I will arise and go to my father and will. But then he goes on to say, I have sinned. See the I word, but it was in a total different connotation. Here he makes a personal commitment. I will. A personal commitment in his heart. This is what I'm going to do. This is the right way that I want to choose. Secondly, we see that he takes personal responsibility for his actions. He says, I have. You know what? This is a starting point in the progression of an upward climb. I will. Moving on, we see in verse 19, he says, I am not worthy to be called a son. Make me one of your hired servants. And here we have humility. Once demanding his rights to be given the inheritance, he now feels unworthy to family rights. He wasted his resources, he squandered his opportunities, and now he's willing to take less than the best. He's willing to take not a family right, but as a hired servant. Humility. Notice the progression to an upward climb. And he comes to the final steps in verse 20. He says, and he arose and came to his father. This morning, there's three different things I like to say about this, and one is confession. And he made confession to his father. I have sinned against God. It says against heaven, but that means God. I have sinned against God and in thy sight. He made confession. You know what? He admitted his wrong. Secondly, we see reconciliation. I have sinned in thy sight. Dad, I've treated you wrong. I want to be a hired servant. I'm not worthy to be called your son. And also, I like to just say discipleship. And this is where many people don't make it. Because many people live their life, they come to know the Lord Jesus, but they just keep staying where they are. But we don't see this from the prodigal son. He didn't stay where he was. He came out, and he came back to where God wanted him to be. This morning, see the progression of a righteous choice. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on looking at it from God's perspective here, but I just want to say here in verse 22, if you notice this upward climb, what did his father say to his servants? He says, bring forth the best. Bring forth the best. The best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring on his hand. Put shoes on his feet. And we have here the father reaching out in true love and forgiveness. Bring the best. And you know what? As we look at this story, we understand again the first part of this passage, he had selfish choices that led down. And as you look at the latter part of this, he made right choices and it led him up. And he came to the place where his father was willing to accept him and provide him with the provisions that he needed for his life. And this is true happiness. Here again, even though in spite of what he had done, his father received him with open arms, and he made a feast for him, and they began to be merry, and there was music, and there was dancing. What a rejoicing and happy time. And then, the very end of this passage says, for thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Now, as we think of this in our life today, I just want to bring out that each one of us has a tendency for this selfish desires. You know, there's something that looks so appealing out there for us, but it doesn't bring happiness. It brings restrictions. But you know, as we follow God's plan, and we accept the Father's provision and live under his blessing, you know, we can't even hardly call it restrictions. It's just so much blessing and provision. God bless you as you continue to serve him. Let's kneel for prayer. Father in heaven, we recognize the potential of our lives and the potential of our choices and the desires of our heart. Father, our carnal nature, our carnal man is selfish, is sinful, is pride, wants to do our own thing, wants to go our way. We try it so many ways, so many times. Father, we've again noticed that that doesn't work. Thank you, Father, for being loving with us and being patient with us. Thank you, Father, for providing all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus. You've given us all the provisions that we need for happiness and enjoyment and fulfillment in life. Father, help us to lay aside our carnal desires and be your servant. To be able to experience your blessing and joy, Father, takes surrender of life. It takes following your way. And I ask, God, that you would cleanse us from those selfish carnal desires. Father, and so that we could have our heart set with being your servant and following your will for our life. Thank you, Father, for showing us this morning again that selfishness leads down, but right choices will lead up. Father, someday we look forward to celebrating heaven with you. You will be our Father, and we will be your Son. Thank you, Father, for accepting us in the family. Even though we took our own way, even though we went away from you, you want us back. Father, thank you for that. We just pray, Father, that if there's anyone here that's wrestling with the way of life, with choices of life, if anyone's wrestling here, which way they want to turn and go, I ask that this would be a reminder again of the blessings in serving God. Thank you, Father, for this Christian group. Thank you for the opportunity that we can have to worship God. Thank you for the hope that we have of heaven. Thank you for the fellowship. We ask that we could find our blessing and our fellowship here, a means of inspiration to keep us pressing forward to our goal. We ask in Jesus' name, amen.